Big changes, big changes. Every day, every year feels like big changes come to college athletics. And we're a little bit closer. I don't know if it's a real guardrail, Zach, but it's at least an attempt at a guardrail on one end. And then for another sport, it's expansion that nobody asked for, but I don't think it's that big a deal, actually. He's Zach. I'm Brad. It's a brand new Village Vice. So what do you want to tackle first? You want to tackle football first? And it's really for everybody, but it maybe football is top of mind for age.
I don't think I know the football one, so tell me what it is.
Age-based eligibility. It's really not just football. It's everybody. But it's five to play four. It's not five to play five. It's you have 5 years to play 4 years of your sport. And it's either from the time you turn 19 or when you graduate high school, whichever is first. And at that point, a five-year clock starts. So gone are the 26-year-old players in their sixth and seventh years of college athletics. If you get hurt, if you are redshirted, whatever, you know, I don't know what this does to the redshirt rule, but they're this close to adopting now what they want to call age-based eligibility.
Which isn't that much different than what they're doing now. You have 5 years to play four now anyway with the redshirt. And all these other instances are exceptions granted by who? The NCAA, who just made this. So when I read this yesterday, I was like, this isn't really a change. They're just adding a few qualifiers to it. And maybe they're now saying like, all right, we're less likely to grant these exceptions. But all these crazy instances were granted because of, you know, the NCAA's ruling on, you know, medical waivers and hardship waivers, and a few instances were COVID years that were kind of still lingering. I think those are all done now, but the five to play four, like, that's not a new thing.
Yeah. Well, right, as a baseline. And like you mentioned, the added elements of, all right, hardship waivers. You know, I've got a family member who's sick. Can I play immediately at this school so I can move home or be closer to home, what have you? This simplifies that. To me, it sounds like, Zach, it sounds, I don't know the diplomatic way to put this, but you could see desks stacked high or inboxes or whatever app, Slack or Box or whatever else people use now for this type of thing with
desks.
Tasks to be done. Okay. Here's 25 cases we need you to rule on. This seems like a way to cut that number down and just be like, well, where are they in their age-based eligibility? Are they, they're 25?
Yeah. They're 25. No. Get out of here. Right. Right.
Knows the answer.
This once again goes back, and this is a common theme with the NCAA and just college sports in general. I don't think the original rules are the issue. It's the enforcement.
Yeah.
And so if the NCAA needs to come out and say, hey, these are pretty much the same rules, but we are going to add one line for them to help enforce things.
Yeah.
Great. Whatever. But what's going to happen when there's a guy who's 25 that wants to play, you know, his sixth or seventh year of college football, and he's got this argument and they threaten to sue the NCAA and the NCAA lets him play? Or are they going to say, no, this is our rule, and, you know, take it to the courts. We'll see what happens. Like, what's going to happen when we get there? Because somebody will push that. Somebody will push that. Nate Oates will find a 27-year-old guy who's, you know, was forced to retire from the NBA to go play in Tuscaloosa. And we'll see what happens.
Yeah, you're right. It's about these adoptions or adaptations don't do anything to guard against litigation.
Right.
Which is fascinating to me, because these people, like, we talk as sports fans about, well, these people aren't very smart. Yeah, they are. These are smart people.
Yeah.
These are presumably intelligent people. How do we pass these things that don't guard against, like, that don't look down the tracks to see future problems coming? It's the same way with NIL and when that began in July of 2021, is like, you didn't see that this would become what it's become. You had to know. You had to know. Here's another interesting thing that was passed yesterday, and this is straight off the NCAA website. The board also introduced a proposal that would direct the infractions process to presume violations occurred in cases of impermissible contact with transfer students, i.e. tampering. If the proposals adopted by the cabinet in June, schools suspected of tampering with student athletes prior to their entry in the transfer portal would need to demonstrate the violation did not occur to avoid penalties. In other words, people who go into the portal with a do not contact tag and then 24 hours later commit to another school, the school they commit to has to prove to the NCAA that it didn't tamper. It is guilty until proven innocent, as opposed to innocent until proven guilty.
Yeah, so I got a few thoughts on that. How do you prove that you didn't speak to someone?
Yeah.
That's pretty wild.
Yeah.
And also, you got to clarify, like, what does speaking to someone mean? Can you talk to representation? Can you talk to high school coaches? Can you talk to a player's father or mother or uncle or aunt or brother?
Yeah.
What does all that mean? And also, like, this is in theory been an assumed rule, maybe not a well-written rule up to this point, which once again, the original rules are fine. It's the enforcement that's the problem. Why does entering with a non-contact tag even exist to begin with?
Right. Yeah. That's the whole point, frankly, of going into the portal, unless you know exactly where you're going.
Yeah, we're just supposed to believe that these players are entering the portal and then they're calling the new coach that they want to play for.
Right.
We think that's what's happening.
Who's
the fact that was an option like years ago when it first started is like,
yeah,
what?
Yeah, because who is the only party that benefits from a do not contact tag? Literally the only one that benefits. It's the school they're going to that already knows they're going. So,
which I'm going to be honest, if I was a coach and I tampered or even came close to tampering, like right. talking to an agent or a family member, high school coach, whatever,
yeah.
common relationship, and I knew it was already done, I'd tell the kid, enter like normal, don't use the don't con, like, because there's no benefit to it. There's right. no benefit to doing that at all other than, oh, he knows where he's going. They must have already had conversations.
Yeah.
I mean, especially this past window, because remember, this past window, they scooted it all to be in January. And so we had all December to figure out, okay, what's going on? Who's going to enter the portal? And like, what are you supposed to do for that month? Yeah. You're supposed to just sit there? Because
yeah.
you know everybody else isn't just sitting there. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Interesting. Once again, the rule isn't the issue. It's the enforcement with the NCAA.
Yeah, these are all great ideas if you can follow through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a 10 o'clock curfew on the weekend is a great idea if you enforce it. If you enforce it. So,
yeah, it's just you're going to force everyone, like all these folks that announce quickly, you're going to force all of them to prove that they didn't talk prior. Like,
well,
and who's managing these cases? I mean, we're talking about thousands of cases here.
Yeah. Well, it's a good thing we can wipe off that. It's a good thing we no longer have to consider medical hardships or other hardship waivers now.
I mean,
now
we'll see, Brad.
Yeah.
We'll see.
But I mean, initially now we can just look and go, oh, he's 25. No. Answer's no. Get the bring me the next case of tampering instead for me to look at.
Yeah.
Let me give you one more. Again,
but how do you like, hey, so I need access to your Twitter and your Instagram and no, you don't.
Right.
And also, okay, let's say you hand it over. Like, cool. I'm just going to delete the messages.
Hey, let's go back to the Salem witchcraft trials. This is what it is. It's you are guilty until proven innocent. You're a witch. No, I'm not. Prove it. If I can prove it, I probably am a witch. Like, what do you want from me? So now you're going to have, because I promise this is the nature of people, Zach. This isn't me being cynical. This is the nature of people. The first thing a certain segment of the population began to do when these rulings came out or when this news began to leak was, they began to look for loopholes. There are professional loophole searchers out there who go spelunking for loopholes like they're cave dwellers, and they find them. So now what do you do? If you're tampering, how do you make it look like you didn't tamper? What do we do to make it look like so we can prove we didn't tamper? Well, now we can't, you know, official contact needs to be made in a very obvious way as soon as you, hey, great to see you're in the port. Like, that's the first documented contact that's made.
Yeah. Hey, nice to meet you.
Yeah.
I'm Coach so-and-so.
I'm introducing myself to you for the first time ever.
Yeah. Don't know if you have my number saved or not, but this is right. Who I am.
Yeah.
Would love to get you on campus. Or if you want to make decisions quicker than that, just let us know.
Please save my
Coach,
number.
Coach, I'm free in 15 minutes. You want to hop on a call and we'll just handle all of our communication on that? Yes. Absolutely. Call you in 10 minutes.
What a wonderful idea. Though I know many others are probably contacting you for the first time ever right now, and you may want to hear what they have to say.
Yeah.
But I believe that our pitch is the strongest.
And then on the phone call, you hash everything out and be like, hey, as soon as we hang up, just text me, say, hey, Coach, it was great to meet you and talk to you for the first time. Just so we can screenshot that and send it to the NCAA. Yeah, that'd be great.
That's it. To prove we didn't tamper. All right. Great.
Coach, sounds I had no great. Idea we'd have so much in common. I had no idea we would both love football and love talking about football.
Coach, I feel
and
like
I'm in pursuit of a championship. Had no idea. Thank you, Coach.
Coach, I feel like, you know what? It's so easy to talk to you. It feels like we've been talking for years. No, don't put that. We got, you know what? Take that out. We need to redact that. That doesn't look good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. One other quick thing. At the request of the Big Ten Conference, the board unanimously adopted a narrow change to rules for the notification of transfer process, allowing schools to decline to enter a student athlete into the transfer portal only if the student-athlete agreed to release the school from that requirement as part of a valid settlement-related benefits agreement with the school for the period of that agreement. That's a lot of legalese in there. So the school doesn't have to list you as entering the portal if the student-athlete says it's okay not to list you?
Or if stuff is still owed, is what I got from that.
Yeah, that's a good point, too.
But that would only apply, I'm guessing, that would only apply to rev share-related contracts, not NIL-related contracts.
Not the third-party NIL, yeah. All right. The next decision let's talk about is the expansion of the NCAA tournament. A lot of hand-wringing over taking the field from 68 to 76, and then instead of four games played in Dayton, now you get 12 games featuring 24 teams, Dayton and probably a West Coast city. So now you have more games on the Tuesday and Wednesday before the tournament starts. Once again, Auburn is the catalyst for change. Once again, you watch Auburn in the postseason. They did it with football after 2004.
Right.
And now Auburn is the catalyst for change again. You watch Auburn go dominate the NIT, and they go, well, we should have had them in. We should have had them in.
I mean, one of the most dominant NIT runs in history, and they're like, we can't leave these guys out.
Right.
Again, let this happen again.
Nobody asked to expand the tournament, but I'll be honest, Zach, once we decided to expand from 64, once we took the tournament away from starting on that Thursday, okay, give us more games Tuesday, Wednesday. I'm okay. Like, all right, fine.
Yeah, there's a few people that are like, yay, more basketball, the better, whatever. So I used to be really against this. I used to be really against it. Like when they went from 64 to 68, I hated it. I don't care anymore. I don't care anymore. Whatever. More games, fine. I don't think most people watch on Tuesday and Wednesday anyway. Will this change that? Possibly.
Marginally.
It might. And look, this year, you know, Auburn would have played in one of those games, right? So we certainly would have been all in on it. this also screams like, hey, NCAA, I'm the NCAA and I need a little bit more money. And this is like really kind of what funds everything else with the NCAA. Yeah. And so if the NCAA needs that to survive, to be able to govern in other places, okay, that's fine. Whatever. Yeah. That's cool. If that's the math you need to make the equation work, cool. Yeah. But actually be useful in where you need to govern. That's fine. Expand the tournament, water it down, what it means to be a tournament team. That's fine. Yeah. Whatever. Well, if that's what you want to do. But elsewhere outside of the NCAA tournament, learn how to govern, learn how to enforce rules and do your job.
To your point, and that's very strongly and perfectly said. And to add to that, so I hope they don't water it down more by having a bunch, like all four 16 seeds. I hope they don't have eight 16 seeds going against each other. In other words, because one of those teams isn't really four of those teams. Then if you have four games between 16 seeds, they're not really in the NCAA tournament. They don't really feel like they're in the NCAA tournament unless you're playing a one seed. Like part of the identity of the 16 seed is in the tournament is playing a one seed. If you're a SWAC team and you're not playing Duke or Florida or Auburn, you're playing a MEAC squad.
Yeah.
That's not really the NCAA tournament, with all due respect. So I think your games are better and you get more interest if all of those Tuesday, Wednesday games are, you know, your 10 seeds, 11 seeds, 12 seeds that would be your power conference teams.
So what I think is going to happen is a lot of the automatic bids for these lower conferences are going to be in those playing games and more of your at large.
Yeah.
Like if Auburn would have snuck in last year, like there, I think they'd be more firmly in the tournament. So
I agree that they won't do what I'm saying I would like them to do. You'll get four 16 versus 16 games. Might even get a 15 versus 15.
Yeah, whatever. Who cares? You know, like,
I think it's better basketball if you have it's better for ratings.
It isn't about a better product. This, like, you can't think about this as a bet. Like, the tournament didn't get better when it went from 64 to 68.
No, it didn't.
Two more days of TV deals.
Yeah.
And they want to beef up those two more days of TV deals because it prints money, and that's fine. I'm not against it.
Right.
Like, but we can't talk about this as if like they need to do this to make the product better. Cause that's not what the goal is. The goal is not to make the product better.
No, then let's be honest about it. What gets a better TV rating, Auburn versus SMU or Jackson State against Northeast Vermont Tech?
Right. No, you want the brands in, the people that actually have a fan base. 100%.
Yeah. So you can go for, and the added benefit of the side benefit is Jackson State and Northeast Vermont Tech and all these other schools, they're actually in the tournament playing one seeds when you get to Thursday, Friday, and your Tuesday, Wednesday slate is better.
Because which better is a little bit why I'm surprised Auburn didn't get in and they pin them against Miami of Ohio. Like that would have been awesome. That would have been the most watched play-in game since they started these things a few years ago.
Yeah. Absolutely. It would have been a marquee play-in game, which is like jumbo shrimp. Like, it doesn't make sense. It would have been a marquee.
Jumbo shrimp makes sense.
I agree. I love jumbo shrimp.
It makes sense. Yeah. It
makes all kind of sense.
Mm-hmm.
So that, all right. So NCAA tournament's expanding. I don't wring my hands over it. I'll watch the games if, you know, I'll watch them because it's there.
See, I'm not going to watch them either way.
You're not going to watch them either way.
Not going to watch them either way. But this isn't for me, right? Yeah. We talk about this before, like like things aren't for everyone, and that's okay. And when it's not for you, don't pitch a fit over it. And that's kind of what I'm doing.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough.
For me. I get why they're doing it. I'm not mad about it.
Speaking of pitching fits, first let's talk about do we need to talk about Precision Tune Auto Care today?
I think I tell you what, my car is pitching a fit. What should I do, Bradlaw?
You should go to Precision Tune Auto Care. If you're getting funny sounds from your car, you know, like that, like a garbage disposal going bad. That sounds like brakes to me. That sounds like maybe a frog is in the engine, a literal frog or a ferret. You need to take it to Precision Tune Auto Care. They're going to give you photos, videos. They're going to let you know exactly what the issue is. No games, no fooling around, where car care meets hospitality. Precision Tune Auto Care. They are located in Opelika. Really convenient location there in Opelika, just off the interstate. And it's where real hospitality and real car care come together. They're ready to help. Precision Tune Auto Care of Opelika. Zach,
yeah.
The baby blue conversation will not go away.
Well, I think we have something today that could end the whole conversation.
I love that. This makes me giddy. So a lot more comments yesterday about how it's a weaker color. It's a weaker color. It's not a weaker. What makes it weak? Because it's lighter?
Yeah, lighter color. Yeah, whatever. So once again, we talk about this audience and the power and greatness, diversity of this this audience.
It's the greatest audience out there.
Got a DM today. I'm not going to say their name because I don't know. But they're a graphic designer at Auburn University. And Auburn has an official secondary color that's powder blue.
Yeah.
It's called Bada Gitta Blue. And they say that they use it and they pair it with navy and orange all the time. And the color scheme is fire. And if you go to Auburn's Brand Center webpage.
Yep.
It's there. It's there. That's the hex code.
Just look that up, folks. Look up what we have on the screen there if you're watching on YouTube. The hex code, 0093D2. It is Bada Gitta Blue. That's the name of the color. And it is awfully similar to baby blue or powder blue. Now, if you don't like it just because of the name, I don't know what to tell you. Like, it's baby blue. It sounds weak. Come on. Come on. There it is. Wow. That is an official. It's called a, and if you go to the official, like, brand center on Auburn's OCM website, that's communications and marketing, it is listed as a supporting color. You have your primary Auburn blue, Auburn orange.
You can say what you want. Oh, well, it's not Auburn. It is.
It is.
It is. And that's why they're giving out hats at baseball games that are that color. It makes sense.
There's also a supporting orange color. It's called Samford Brick Orange. That's there. Interestingly, and this is a fascinating road you could go down, there's also a campus green, a sun-kissed yellow, a Nova brown, and a never-to-yield teal.
Wow.
What if, Zach? What if? Let's say Auburn baseball hosts a regional again for the fourth time in 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And on opening weekend of regional play, you got Auburn baseball hats in never to yield teal or Nova brown. What about an Auburn baseball jersey that's Nova brown with the orange and blue accents? A little like Padres looking.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Out there.
Yeah. It's like brown?
No, not really.
Okay.
It's like a chocolate looking brown.
Interesting.
It's like a Padres darker brown jersey color.
So I'm just saying, for all the if your argument is baby blue is not an official color, you're wrong.
Well, technically you'd be right, but Bada Gitta Blue.
Nope.
Is. Oh,
Bada Gitta Blue. Yeah, got it.
Bada Gitta Blue is an absolute, actual, official color. That's not our color. Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
You hear that?
What's that?
Are those the tears of our enemies? That does it for today's show.
It almost does. I hope people can swim in the ocean of truth. Please don't drown in the ocean of truth because...
Yeah, come on in. The water's fine here in the ocean of truth.
Learn how to swim in it. Navigate the ocean of truth and have a great time. Thanks, everybody, for watching. Thanks for listening.
What color is the ocean of truth?
Well, it's Bada Gitta Blue, Zach. That's right. Everybody knows that.